Educational Communications and this station present Environmental Directions with Nancy Perlman. On this series, we explore the effects of human influence on the Earth's ecosystems and discuss solutions to environmental problems which affect the quality of life on this planet. Environmental Directions gives you the kind of information you need to help you participate in decisions impacting your community, the nation, and the world. Now, here's your host, Nancy Perlman.
Hello, I'm here at the Museum of Tolerance in West Los Angeles, California. With me is Ava Lalezar-Zadeh. She is an actress, a theater major at the University of California at Los Angeles, and she plays the main character of Anne Frank in Anne, a New Play. Welcome. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you so much, Nancy.
I just saw a most incredible performance here at the Museum of Tolerance about a story that most of us know about. It's based on the diary of Anne Frank, a young teenager who had to hide with her family in the Netherlands to stay, hopefully, away from the Nazis and not be taken to one of the death camps. Why don't you summarize that main story?
Right. So I think what's so unique about our adaption of the play is that we envision a world in which Anne survives. And I don't want to say too much more on that because you have to come see it to find out. But basically, aside from that part of the story, we take a look into Anne and her family's life from before they go and hide. So we see her on her 13th birthday receiving presents with her family. And immediately we start understanding the dynamic and relationships Anne has with her sister, her father, her mother. And later on, when we go into the annex where the Van Pels and Mr. Pfeffer joins us, we see how these seemingly different people in the same situation interact and coexist in a very small space for the next 2 years of their lives.
And that's what I found most interesting, that they had to deal with a lot of people in a very small space, a very small environment. And you had to project how difficult it was for somebody coming of age, the different personalities involved. They had a normal, typical life. They blended in as a Jewish family with the Christian neighbors until they had to go into hiding to protect themselves. How do you compare the difference? Because in her writings, and that's what her book, The Diary, is all about, she shared how she wants to be outdoors. She wants to see the sky and the trees and feel the fresh air. How do you portray somebody struggling with that?
Yeah, I think firstly, the words really speak for themselves. I mean, she says there's a passage in the diary. She goes, "I'm longing for everything," right? And she talks about wanting to be, she feels like a songbird whose wings have been ripped out, you know, and who keeps hurling itself against the bars of its cage. Inside me, there's a voice that cries, "Let me out," where there's fresh air and laughter. And I think when you say those words, it's not very hard to feel confined and to feel that desire and longing to be free. And I think what also helps so much is the set design, in that we are, all of us are on stage at all times. None of us ever leave the stage practically. And the stage isn't very big. So we're doing a lot of different scenes, a lot of different locations on the same stage and very slightly moving the set minimally to get that effect that we're in a claustrophobic area.
Initially, they had a very large spacious room, if you can say it was spacious when you had lots of people living in one space. And then there was a moment toward the end where they actually had to go into practically one tiny attic that didn't have the restroom facilities, that didn't have what was necessary. And I remember they're holding up the sheet so people could supposedly use the toilet, which wasn't there, which was a bucket, and they had to keep the smell. What we take for granted, the amenities, it's tough.
There's a part in the beginning of the play and also in the diary where Otto Frank is explaining to his family that, you know, these are the certain hours in which we can't move around, or we can't wear shoes, we can't run the pipes, we can't use the bathroom. And these are things we all take for granted. I just used the bathroom 5 minutes ago, but I couldn't do that right now. I would have to wait until the workers downstairs left. I think when you're put in an environment where you're forced to survive, you adapt quickly, and they did adapt quickly. But I think when those basic amenities are taken away from you, you start to feel that angst that Anne is explaining, and that struggle and desire to want to be outside and want to be free when those very simple rights suddenly are taken away from you.
Anne's story is one of the most famous from World War II because her book was saved by her father, who was able to escape and survive. But the rest of the family died in the death camps, she and her sister, just a couple of weeks before the liberation, were taken and contracted a disease, typhus, that killed them. And that's something that we take for granted in this country, that we catch a disease, we go to the hospital, we take some medicine, and we'll survive.
A lot of people think that everybody died in the concentration camps, but that's false. That's not true. Fritz Pfeffer died of, I forgot how to say the name, but enterocolitis. Or he died of a disease, you know? And so many people like Anne and Margot, her sister, didn't die because they were sent to the concentration camps, but died because of disease in the camp because it was so filthy and unsanitary.
It must have been difficult to absorb the character of somebody who so many people know about because we've read that diary. What was it like for you to try and share her agony of being cooped up, her desire to have a relationship with the young teenager that was also sharing the space with them?
Right. So I think my first mission in taking on Anne was not to portray this woman, this girl, this idolized figure, right, and this pinnacle of the Holocaust, but rather this girl. She's a girl. She's like me. She's like your sister, like your daughter, who has grown into womanhood during her time in the annex, just like anybody else would, right? And I think what I wanted to show was that she is just like us. And yes, she was very gifted and talented and an incredibly observant to her world and self-aware and to the world around her, but that she feels things just like us. And I think once you do that, once you humanize her, people in the audience can relate to her even more and put themselves much more easily in her shoes.
Anne and her family had to stay in hiding for close to 2 years. That's a long time in a cooped up environment. Are there any records of how many other people had to leave and hide?
Yeah, so there are a lot of records of that. You should all come to the Museum of Tolerance and go to the Anne Frankens exhibit because they talk about that as well. And there's even a moment in the play where Meep, she comes in from the outdoors and she says, "The neighborhood is empty. There's nobody in the neighborhood," meaning either they've all gone to hide or they've been taken away. And the way it would work is, so Margot Frank had received a letter that she would be taken away, right? And they would do that by neighborhood. So Peter, my lover in the annex, he knew that he would be getting his letter not too far after Margot got his letter because they were systematically taking these young teenagers away, neighborhood after neighborhood after neighborhood.
This took place in the Netherlands. I recall decades ago visiting the home that had the attic where they hid. You recently visited. What was the impression? Because it has been saved and preserved.
From the outside, it looks like a completely normal building, and you would pass by it and you wouldn't think anything of it. And then you go inside and they start taking you up these staircases and you see the bookcase. And I get emotional even thinking about it. And the bookcase is already open for us. And I remember walking in, and to the left, you go in where there's the living room, and to the right, there's a staircase that goes to where the Von Dahn family slept. It was actually pretty spacious, which I was a little shocked by, but then I had to remember that when I went in December, it wasn't furnished at all. So now make it furnished and have 8 people crammed in there. Okay, suddenly now it's not very spacious. But what stuck out to me the most was we went up to the attic and there was the little tiny window where she would look out from, where she would see the snow falling, where she would see the chestnut tree changing leaves during the season. And you think that her whole world outside her can only be seen through this little window in the attic. And that's what she has to connect to the outside world. And there was something else that was really interesting that I read. There was a power outage one of the nights, and so they didn't have to put their blackout curtains on. So she remembers saying that it had become night, and because there wasn't any power outage, they didn't need to put the curtains on. And so she could see the neighbors across the street and see inside the neighbors' homes and what they were doing. And I think if I was in that position, that would serve as great solace to me to still see bits of the outside world so I wouldn't feel so isolated.
She wrote so beautifully, and I'm so pleased that her writings were saved and shared with the world. This is a book that's been translated into practically 60 languages, and millions of copies have been read. Some people may not have read the book, but saw the movie. This is an adaptation of the book. It doesn't try to portray it exactly. Tell us about the writers, the producer, and the other actors in the program.
Right. So the writers are two Dutch writers, and Nick Blairmeyer, he adapted it. So it was originally a 2-hour play, and Nick was able to beautifully crunch it down into an 85-minute play, which is quite frankly absurd. And he did it beautifully that he was able to manage to do that. Eve Brandstein, she's our director. She's Jewish. She comes from Holocaust survivor parents. Susie Dietz, our producer, she's also Jewish and feels a great need and responsibility to tell these stories right now, especially considering what's going on in our climate in America. And so many of my fellow castmates, they have very rich histories as well. Many of our castmates are Jewish. Kevin, who plays Peter, his family also has history with oppression. And so many of us have a very rich cultural background in which it isn't too hard for us to connect to what it feels like to be oppressed. And my parents, they escaped the Iranian Revolution because we're Persian Jews.
This location is very meaningful because the Museum of Tolerance wants people to get a better comprehension of the intolerance in the world. And we're sitting here in one of the exhibits, and I'm reading a quote by Albert Einstein: "Peace cannot be kept by force. It can only be achieved by understanding." So in addition to the excellent exhibits here, one can really get an understanding by also enjoying a remarkable theater production. The play will be performed throughout the summer?
We go every Sunday at 3 p.m. and 7 p.m. and every Monday at 8 p.m. You can go to museumoftolerance.com to purchase your tickets.
You did a beautiful rendition of the character. I want to thank you so very much for sharing with us your experiences. Thank you so very much for being my guest.
Thank you so much, Nancy.
I have been speaking with Ava Lalezarzadeh, who plays Anne Frank in the play Anne, a New Play, at the Museum of Tolerance. We'll be back in a moment with more ecological issues.